2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
BYU aired it out.
Straight back, Romper Jaron looks to his left, looks middle, goes deep middle. He's got Puka Nacua, makes the catch. Stays on his feet, is now dragged down to the 21-yard line of Baylor.
But they couldn't sustain drives, and they couldn't stop the Baylor Bears.
Smith does get in. Stepped through a tackle, shook off a would-be tackler, and gets in for the touchdown that might just seal the deal here in Waco.
This week, the Cougars need to get back in the win column against a reeling Washington State.
Coach Nick Rolovich will not be on the sideline this Saturday. He's been fired, along with four of his assistant coaches.
Today, BYU kicks off against Washington State at 1:30. And this is KSL's extended pregame coverage with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome on in, Cougar Nation, to extended pregame coverage. BYU versus Washington State, coming to you from Pullman, the Palouse. The first time ever BYU has played at Washington State. Kickoff coming up today at 1:30 p.m. Getting you ready for kickoff between the Cougars and the Cougars clad in red. You can follow us on Twitter at KSL Sports, the KSL Sports app, KSLSports.com. Anything KSL Sports, we got you covered. Matt, this is going to be a good football game, a game that BYU has to find a way to get back in the win column.
Yeah, the Baylor loss, I think, was sort of expected. BYU, for sure, Mitch, exceeded expectations through the midway point of the season. I don't think a lot of people had them, even at 5-1. And you always looked at that Baylor game and was like, that's going to be a difficult game, and it was absolutely a tough challenge that BYU cannot overcome. But then you felt like, following that, you'll go to Washington State, you can get a victory against the other Cougars up in the Northwest. But this game, which before the season began, I think everyone, yourself, myself, circled this as a win.
Yes.
Now you look at this game, and we'll get to the storyline regarding their former head coach, Nick Rolovich. And this game has now become not a trap game. The Boise State game was a trap game. This has just become a dang hard football game to win. And if BYU is able to win this game, gets them back in the win column, build some momentum going into Virginia. So it's kind of interesting how every game in this month of October has had such unique storylines, and that continues again today.
You're going to hear from BYU wide receiver Neil Powell, also linebacker/safety Chaz Ayu, and then Jaron Hall. And then you'll also get an insider look at the Washington State Cougars here on this extended pregame coverage. If you want to interact with us, text us on the UCCU KSL text line at 57500, and you can get at us, and we can see your text rolling through as we get ready for BYU and Washington State. The first meeting between the two programs since 2012. Remember, that was a week one season opener. Riley Nelson was the QB, and it was a Thursday night tilt. First game of the Mike Leach era, and BYU won that game 30-6. There was also a game in the Ty Detmer era the week after BYU took down Miami, also the 1981 Holiday Bowl, but not many meetings between BYU and Wazoo. And we start things off with Washington State, because this is a program that is going through an unprecedented change. Everything in the world the past 18, 19 months, whatever it's been, Matt, has been unprecedented as we live and navigate through a global pandemic. But Nick Rolovich, the head coach, former head coach of the Washington State Cougars, he's out because he didn't comply with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate in the state of Washington.
Today, Nick Rolovich was formally notified by the university that he has failed to meet the requirements as stated in the state of Washington, Governor Inslee's Proclamation 21-14-1 related to vaccination requirements. The noncompliance with this requirement renders him ineligible to be employed at Washington State University and therefore can no longer fulfill the duties as a head coach of our football program effective immediately. The separation process has been initiated in accordance with the terms as specified in his contract.
That's Washington State AD Pat Chun earlier this week. What impact, if at all, Matt, do you feel like this has on today's ballgame?
I think it's going to have a huge impact, and that's going to motivate Washington State. You saw their starting quarterback, Jaden Delora, who comes from the state of Hawaii and is recruited by Nick Rolovich. I think kind of followed him as he left Hawaii to go to Washington State. He had a lengthy post on Twitter talking about how he didn't agree with the decision and that they want to pack the house and just make noise and play for him. And so I think this is, look, if this didn't happen, this team is still dangerous. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They're looking a lot better than they did at the beginning of the season. They were starting to find their stride under Rolo. And then you add this element to it, I think it's going to take it to a whole nother level. And we've seen throughout college football these types of scenarios, not guys refusing to get vaccinated and get fired, because like you said, that's unprecedented, but we've seen where a coach has been let go and a team responds. And we've seen it in this very stadium this year when USC's coach was let go, Clay Helton, and then the following game, the first year under Dante Williams, USC goes up there with Jackson Dart, a Utah guy, and they win. So this reminds me a lot of the 2010 season, Mitch, where BYU lets go of their defensive coordinator, and the next, and that was a bad loss against Utah State. I don't know if you were there for that, but that was an ugly loss where you felt like BYU should have won that game. Now, there were some injuries, I get it, just like this year, but the next week, they make changes under Bronco, and it looked like a totally different team. Inspired, get a win against a San Diego State team at home. So, I mean, we could spend the whole show talking about scenarios where coaches get let go or things happen and a team is motivated. Think about Purdue and Ohio State, game day game a couple weeks. I mean, on and on and on. So I think this makes Washington State an incredibly dangerous team.
I completely agree with you. I think Washington State, this is a game where BYU on paper, I think, is the favorite coming in. They're 5-2. They've lost two in a row. Washington State's 4-3, winners of three in a row. But I feel like Washington State has some momentum despite all the adversity that they faced. They feel confident in what they're doing. And I think that fan base for Washington State here in Pullman, it's a small town. It's a small college setting for a college football game. But I think they're going to come out and fully support this team because the fan base for Washington State was fractured. It was, they were either supporting Rolovich, and there was others that were supporting the university and science and the vaccine, and it was a fractured fan base. Like we see with politics and society today with this vaccine, it's fractured so many people and relationships. It was a toxic deal, and it almost felt like Washington State had to make this move, even if they, like, suspending him would have just prolonged the issue for recruiting. They almost had to get rid of him to uphold this mandate. But I feel like Washington State has nothing to lose, whereas everyone's just saying, oh, they lost their coach. You know, good luck to them. Like, it was a shame that their great season, or what was been a great story, suddenly got derailed. They're going to come out guns blazing, and I think BYU has got to be ready to strike early. They cannot have a situation where Washington State's going 10, 11, 13, 14 plays, and they end it with a touchdown. BYU's defense has got to get off the field. They showed signs of it early against Baylor, but they got to do it more consistently because Washington State's going to come in, and they're going to be playing with heavy hearts for their former head coach.
We want to hear what you guys think about Nick Rolovich being let go at Washington State. Text us 57500 to interact with us all throughout the show. We'll take our first break here on extended pregame coverage. BYU and Washington State will continue to break down this matchup in the next segment. So stay right here with us. It's extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio, powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Washington State.
Goes for Puka, back shoulder, end zone, makes the catch. Did he get a foot down? Touchdown!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to extended pregame coverage. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper getting you ready for Washington State and BYU. Such an interesting matchup. It was always going to be an interesting matchup because you had the run and shoot offense that Rolovich brought over from Hawaii against a BYU team, which is still, I think there are the ingredients there for a great offense. It just hasn't all come together in one game. And so this would have been a great measuring stick. But then you throw in the vaccine mandate in which Nick Rolovich did not comply with, which led to him being dismissed, along with other coaches, and one of them being a former BYU coach and offensive line coach, Mark Weber. So this game is just full of interesting storylines, and it's going to make for a challenge for BYU. Let's just put a bow on the Nick Rolovich storyline as we actually dive into the nitty-gritty of the game. How do you feel about Washington State making that move, Mitch?
You know, I think that it's a difficult situation to think that a college football coach is losing their job over a personal choice to not get a vaccine. It's a crazy time we live in. But I think they had to do it, though. I do, because what he was doing, I think, with the media, the timeline from Pac-12 Media Day to when he got let go, he was so stubborn and nonchalant about it. And you got to remember, too, Nick Rolovich, he had an issue with a player last year that was looking to maybe join the Pac-12 athlete group that was a movement to try to get TV revenue dollars, a cut. Remember, this was before NIL, and there was a little bit of a conversation where he was not being completely kind and supportive to that student athlete who happened to also be a minority athlete. So that was there for Nick Rolovich. And then you pair up last season where he said a comment, "I'm not worried about coronavirus. I don't care about that." Something to that effect in a post-game press conference when asked how many players were out. And then his team had to literally shut down operations for 2 weeks. So those factors paired with the refusal to get the vaccine. Because the thing is that I think if he had intel or he had information that prevented him from getting it, why not share it with everyone and let people know, like, this is why I'm not doing it? Because I think he would have been a more sympathetic character in all of this had he maybe been more open as to why he's not getting it. But to just kind of quietly, and I know maybe that was probably strategic because maybe he knew this is where it was going to go. And now he's reportedly lawyering up and suing Washington State. I think that maybe he knew this is where it was going, but had he been more open as to why he was doing this and taking this road, I think he would have been a more sympathetic figure. And I think that I don't think he took into account the lives that he's impacting, these student athletes, the coaches. Now all of his coaching staff, the ones that haven't been dismissed, their jobs are on the block now. They might not have jobs next year. So I think Washington State, though, they probably had to do it with his track record in previous situations as well.
I agree on that standpoint from just the because when you look at it, you could easily say this was a one-time thing. It had built up to this. Yeah. And so from that perspective, I think it does make sense that Washington State kind of got forced in this corner. However, I do think it's tough to lose your job over this when, you know, he was wearing a mask on the sidelines. He was wearing a mask in all the places you're supposed to when you can't socially distant. And so from that perspective, I think it's hard where there's not options for someone to, you know, in his case, he was saying it was a religious thing. Yeah. It was a religious thing that was preventing him from getting the vaccine. Whether you agree with that or not, that's up to you. But that's why he didn't do it. And there was no alternative there was no accommodation. And I think it's just hard, especially in this country, Mitch, America, where it's the land of the, you know, I can't even remember the expression now, but land of the free, home of the brave. I hope that's the expression. But, you know, freedom is what this country has been founded on. And there wasn't an option here to still comply with wearing a mask and being socially distant. It was do this or hit the road, and he hadn't hit the road. So it's an incredibly difficult and sensitive situation. I'm not advocating for or against, and, you know, I don't want that to be the case, but these situations have become so complex and so difficult in the country right now, in the political place that we live. It's just hard. I don't think that there is a right answer one way or the other.
I just come down to, I would be hard-pressed to lose a $3 million a year job. I'm getting that vax. I'm getting it. I got vaccinated. Not that this is going to be some PSA for vaccinations here. Right. But, I mean, that's a $3 million salary. And he just sacrificed that. That guy might not ever coach again. And this was something that I would just be fascinated to know his line of thinking. Not that he owes that to anyone, but it cost you your job. Had he maybe publicly expressed his reasoning behind it, then we could have had a greater understanding as to
why.
Why? Right. And because right now it just came off as just stubborn. I don't want to deal with coronavirus, because that's what he was saying last season when his team had outbreaks. And I think those factors paired up with what he was saying this year, after the mandate was put into effect and him missing Pac-12 Media Day, it just wasn't a good look. And now, he hits the road, as you said, he's going to be suing Washington State going forward. BYU's on the road, where last week they had a ton of struggles in a great environment down in Texas at Baylor. But on the road once again, can BYU learn anything from what took place last week against Baylor and try to get a fix today against the Rolovich-less Washington State Cougars?
That's such a hard question. I don't know, because here's the thing. I think the answers are, and maybe BYU fans are going to like this, injuries. Because you look at the numbers that Jaren Hall put up, they were good. And offensively, I think that they played well enough to win the game. But when you get down that far and defensively you can't make a stop, then what can you do? But then it's like, okay, well, other than scheme, and maybe you sell out the blitz a little bit more or sell out the run a little bit earlier than they did in the Baylor game, is the personnel there to execute? And like, one thing that I think I learned from the Baylor game is the Keenan Peely loss, Mitch, is way more significant than anyone realized, because he was a great tackling linebacker. He was great in the run game. And if he was there, Chaz Ayu's not getting moved to linebacker. There's not all this shuffling. So what did I learn? I learned that these injuries are a serious toll, and I don't know if it can be overcome.
I learned that Jaren Hall is an awesome quarterback, and people need to back off.
Yes.
They need to stop. The slander of Jaren Hall, I know it's not everyone. It's a vocal minority, but it's a very vocal one. Stop it. Stop it right now. Jaren Hall is your starting quarterback, and that man deserves to be the starting quarterback. The deep connection between him and Puka Nacua, I feel like we could see that on display with Neil Powell, with Gunnar Romney, any one of these receivers. Oh, by the way, you also have Samson Nacua as well. This was Kalani Sitake earlier in the week as to what he learned from that loss to Baylor.
We knew what they were going to try to do, which is establish the run game. I know Grimey and his personality and what he wants to try to establish, the identity as an offense, and that's to run the ball. And we couldn't stop it on defense, and that really bugs me. So we've got to figure out a way to do it. And I'm more disappointed and frustrated with the fundamentals of the game and the technique I am, rather than the scheme or anything. I mean, we had 11 guys out there playing, but I don't think we tackled well enough. I don't think we got off blocks, and I don't think we're physical enough. So defensively, you need to be more physical, and that's surprising to hear. But we also need to get some guys back and some leadership to take ownership of the defensive front.
It is surprising to hear that physicality is being questioned, because that was a hallmark of what BYU did in those wins over Utah and Arizona State. Okay, we got to take a break. BYU, they got to also, real quick, prevent giving up 303 rushing yards. Don't let that happen today against Washington State. We're breaking it down. BYU and Washington State, extended pregame coverage, KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
After two straight losses, the Cougars are looking for a win.
The pull away and the takeoff by Jaren Hall, and he is gone. The 40, the 30, the 20, he will score. Touchdown!
The coaches are looking for a way there.
Didn't like the outcome of the game. A lot of things that I wanted to get to work to try to get better for this week.
Today, it's KSL's extended pregame, BYU-Washington State, with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to extended pregame coverage. We will have you locked and loaded all morning long as we get ready for the Cougars. And the Cougars, we've got some good interviews coming up. Neil Powell will join us later. We'll preview the Wazoo Cougars with their play-by-play voice, Matt Chazanow, and it's going to be some good stuff, Mitch.
It really is, and here at the Palouse in Pullman, it's a great scene for a college football game. You know, I will say this, though. I'll add fuel to the fire here.
Oh.
Pac-12 scenes are not as great as Big 12 scenes.
Oh!
Big 12 football? Last week, seeing old Baylor, seeing a sellout crowd. A little bit different atmosphere.
Was it really a sellout? Because it looked like the student section was a little light.
Yeah, the student section was a little light. BYU fans, legit. You know, when I saw the sellout announcement for Baylor, I think Baylor fans naturally thought, oh, yeah, we're coming out. We're supporting this good team. No. BYU fans were gobbling up the tickets, and there was pockets of seas of blue in some of the sections in McLean Stadium. But, you know, I don't expect as many Cougar fans for BYU today. It's going to be some rainy weather, cloudy skies.
It's the Palouse.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't go to the Palouse at the end of fall. That's a spring event.
Whenever I think of Washington State, I always think of like a foggy USC Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush game, and Bush is like running into the corner of an end zone or something like on a grainy TV set. But it's going to be a good day, and I'm looking forward to it and one of the guys that's going to be part of this BYU defense is looking to bounce back and show that physicality that Kalani Sitake is looking for is BYU linebacker and safety Chaz Ayu. And Chaz, what are your feelings on being here in Pullman and this matchup with the Cougars?
I mean, the first conversation that we had about it was, you know, last year we had a game where I think we're missing five or six coaches.
Yeah, Boise, right?
Boise and
UCF.
And yeah, and so, you know, we were missing multiple coaches, and you know, it was all throughout the week. You know, they weren't there for practice and stuff, and so, you know, we're thinking back to what our team had to do that year, and you know, brought more motivation. You know, they're like, you know, we got to step up for real. Like, this is on us right here. So we know that going into this game, it's not going to be, everyone's probably thinking, oh man, well, this is an easy win now. They don't have their coaches, you know, they're going to be all confused and everything's going to be all over the place. But you know, we already know the talk that's going on in their locker room. And we know what their practice is looking like. And if anything, it's they're even more dialed in, more having more anticipation for the game. And so, you know, we're going into this game expecting their best. And they're going to come out swinging, you know, so it doesn't change anything for us.
What do you think of their quarterback, Jaden Delora? I feel like he's one of the rising stars out west and in all of college football. Former St. Louis High School kid coming out of Hawaii. I know BYU offered him in the recruiting process. What do you think of Delora when you see him on film?
Yeah, watching the film, you know, he's a solid quarterback. You know, he can keep the play alive, which is very important with the style of offense that they play. You know, for him, he's got a really athletic receiving core that can go out there and make plays. And so I like the way that he facilitates the ball. And so I think if we can kind of throw him out of his rhythm and not let him feel like he's able to facilitate like he usually does, then, you know, I think that that'll be one of our keys and shutting them down.
Physicality has been kind of a buzzword this week. Kalani brought it up earlier in the week that he wants to see the physicality back. How do you maybe recapture that? Because that was the calling card against Utah, against Arizona State. You guys were physical, and it was noticeable against those teams that are playing some pretty good football right now. How do you guys recapture that this week against Wazoo?
You know, I think the first thing it comes down to is just attitude and pride. You know, we got to go into games having more pride in what we stand for on the field and having more energy. You know, as far as, you know, the technique part of the physicality, you know, we've been tackling like all the way to the ground. Today we had a session where we did that. And so I think the coaches at this point are just saying, you know, if you can't tackle and you can't be physical, then, you know, you're not going to be able to play for us. And so that's what we're kind of focusing for the rest of the season. I feel like we're going to be doing a lot more of that.
Washington State's going to have probably a hostile crowd. I think there's going to be emotions there. I think that their fans are going to try to lift them up. Even Roderick mentioned it might be a little bit like the Utah State game, where small college town, a little bit smaller stadium. So it's going to be a rocking atmosphere, and it should be a fun one. Inclement weather. Do you feel like does bad weather play an impact at all in football games, or are we just overthinking that in the media? Is that a thing?
I think it influences it to a tiny degree.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are certain instances where You take away the weather from that specific instant, and it's a whole different situation. But as far as mentality, how it affects you going into the game, you know, how you play, how you do your technique and all of that stuff, you know, none of that should be a factor. You know, you should never be slipping and sliding no matter how wet the ground is. You just got to adjust to the weather and keep going. But like I said, there's always going to be that 1% that, you know, the uncontrollable that happens. And so that's always factored into the game, and that's just a part of the life. You know, that's part of it. And so you just pick up and adjust.
There you go. That's Chaz Ayu. You can hear more of that conversation on the Cougar Tracks podcast on KSLSports.com every single week. Chaz Ayu joins us on Cougar Tracks. We're taking a break. On the other side, we'll get to some of the defensive changes that we anticipate in this matchup, this all-Cougar matchup between BYU and Washington State. It's extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Washington State.
He will score! Touchdown, Tyler Allgeier!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage
on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Coming to you live from Pullman, Washington on the Palouse. First time ever BYU is playing a game in Pullman. Did you know that, Matt? The only team in the Pac-12 conference BYU has not played in their home venue.
I did know that, but it's crazy to think that now they will have played everyone in the Pac-12. So you think that maybe there was another team, but in independence era, you played at basically everybody. At Cal, at Oregon State. You got Oregon coming up next year. You're going to USC later this year. You've played UCLA, the Arizona team, so it's a lot of fun.
I put up a full list of the stadiums that BYU has never played in, and it's crazy to think of how many they actually have played, because I guarantee you put a lot of teams out there in college football, not many leave their little pocket of the country. BYU, it's coast-to-coast football. That'll change a little bit, obviously, quite a bit, because the Big 12 affiliation coming up in 2023, but still, kind of a cool thing to check off another venue that BYU has never played in up until today when they play the Washington State Cougars here at Martin Stadium in Pullman. And as we've been hearing on this first hour of extended pregame coverage, you just heard from BYU linebacker and safety Chaz Ayu.
What is he? Linebacker or safety?
You know, to me, Matt, I think you got to switch him back to safety. I was telling him, in that Cougar Tracks podcast, which you can go check out on KSLSports.com every week with Chaz. It's great stuff with
It is good stuff. Chaz has been great.
He's been really good. But I asked him, you know, are you going to switch back to safety? Because I feel like he's at his best at the safety position. And we bring this up because I feel like this week there has to be some adjustments. You can't trot out the same thing that happened last week against Baylor and say, that's going to work. Like, adjustments have to be made, and I would point to playing Chaz at the safety spot, getting him back to that position. There are guys at linebacker. You think about Josh Wilson. Well, why is he not playing? The younger brother to Zach Wilson. We heard so many good things about him in fall camp. Why isn't he getting some run? I would get Chaz back at safety and open things up for another younger guy at the linebacker spot.
I'm with you 100%. I've never liked Chaz at linebacker. He was a four-star guy out of high school because he was a great safety.
Yeah.
And I know that the linebacker position has been trending lighter in terms of weight over time just to be able to cover sideline to sideline, but his skill set, I think, is at safety. And I love how you bring up the depth because I think BYU is deep. One guy you didn't even mention yet, where's Drew Jensen?
Yeah.
I'd like to see more Drew Jensen, who I think has earned the field. We're just not seeing enough of it. And even if you don't, so you lose Keenan Pille, huge loss. We've already talked about that. And much bigger loss than we ever realized just because of his ability to get the defense in the right play and then to make the tackles. Because you heard Kalani, we're not tackling well enough. And that guy tackled. He was a great tackler. But you still have Wilgar, who we all love. He's fantastic. You got Max Tooley, great. Been battling some injuries, but he's awesome. Ben Bywater's been, I don't know, maybe the MVP of the D. I mean, he's leading the team in tackles. He's been great. There's not a need. Because then you go to Drew and you go to Josh Wilson. And if you want to change anybody, look, we're not coaches. We're not there. So, you know, maybe we're overshooting our welcome here. But Pepe Tonavasa, maybe that's a guy who could help out. There's a lot of options, and I want Chaz back at safety. That's where I think he belongs, and he can still help out in the run game. Just bring him on down. So, Ammon Hanneman's been playing a lot, and he's going to be good. I just don't think he's as good as Chaz right now.
I agree. And then you think about the value Ammon brings if he's a second unit guy, where Malik Moore, Chaz Ayu starting safeties, Ammon Hanneman,
Hayden Livingston,
Jacob Bourne's got a little bit of run. So that's a nice group of four or five guys at safety if you switch Chaz back to that safety spot. I also think, too, the physicality up front with the defensive line, they got to step up. And I think, too, someone has got to emerge as a leader of this defense. You and I know, growing up, following BYU football, I think you probably agree with me. When you think of one of the best teams in BYU history when it comes to leadership, I think of 2006. Cameron Jensen,
the
heart of the defense, great leadership on that team. I'm asking myself right now on this team, and this could also apply to the offensive side, who's the leader and who's the vocal leader? I think Jaron Hall is a leader by example. I don't think he's vocal enough, and that's something maybe he's still growing into. Tyler Allgeier, I think he's kind of
he's a get-the-job-done.
Yeah.
Quietly gets the job done.
Who are those vocal guys? I think that's also missing right now on this defense. Maybe it's Tyler Batty, who was brought up earlier this week, and he's kind of a big personality. Really like Tyler. I thought he had early on a nice game against Baylor. But someone's got to step up as the leader now that Keegan Peely's out.
It's got to be a linebacker. I'll tell you who I'd like it to be is Peyton Wolgar. I think that guy can do it, but a lot of these guys are talking about, and this is not a knock on them at all, so don't take it the wrong way. They're not boisterous guys. Like, there's just not that guy. Like, another great defense I think about is that 2012 unit. You had a lot of boisterous guys. You know, Brandon Ogletree was loud. Juana Kavanga was that way. Kyle Van Noy, Preston Hadley, you know, a coach who was on that. Like, that group had some guys. So, yeah, they need a leader. I think the other thing they need, too, is they need to throw the kitchen sink at Washington State. Yeah, anything and everything.
Like,
rush eight at time, like stack the box, make them. I just never felt like in the Baylor game, Mitch, there was a moment where they said, okay, you think you're going to run on us? We're going to throw eight guys in here, and your guy needs to make plays. Gary Bohannon. Because he threw an interception early. Peyton Wilgar snaps that thing, and they never just said, hey, we're selling out to stop this, so now you've got to adjust. And I would like to see that in this game, where they just say, we're going to blitz, we're going to stack the box, we're going to do some crazy stuff, because I think that's what you have to do when you're down Lorenzo Fauatea, when you're down Keenan Ellis. You know, it's like, yes, you don't want to have to resort to those things, but sometimes you have to, and I think today's game is a situation where Elisa Tuiaki and this defense, they've got to throw it all at Washington State.
And I think also, too, that what do you have to lose? You know, BYU's going to the Independence Bowl no matter what, probably.
Right.
I get it. You probably want the 10-win season, and I think that is a great goal to have, because if you can go back-to-back regular season with 10 wins, then you're positioning yourself in 2022 to maybe be a preseason top 25 team with a returning quarterback. That's how this thing works in college football. But honestly, if you lose this game, I mean, this is basically a toss-up game. What? Change it up. Catch Washington State off guard, who's already understaffed. They don't have the resources, the manpower, to be completely dialed into the level that they're used to. I worry about this game, Matt, being like 2015 Missouri, where Missouri had only 2 days of practice. They were going to protest the game and not play. They were, because all the racial injustices on campus in Columbia. There was thought that it wasn't even going to be played, and then they come out with the worst offense in college football, and they put up 20 points and win the game. You're thinking, how did BYU lose this game? They're the favorite. So you got to avoid that in this one, and I think stuff like that where you're throwing the sink, if you will, you know, putting out some looks that you have not shown in recent weeks, that's got to happen this week against Wazoo.
Absolutely. We'll take another break here on extended pregame coverage. ABC News coming at the top of the hour, and then more pregame right here on the legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio.
BYU aired it out.
Straight back, Ron Pergeron looks to his left, looks middle, goes deep middle. He's got Puka Nacua, makes the catch. stays on his feet and is now dragged down to the 21-yard line of Baylor.
But they couldn't sustain drives, and they couldn't stop the Baylor Bears.
Smith does get in, stepped through a tackle, shook off a would-be tackler, and gets in for the touchdown that might just seal the deal here in Waco.
This week, the Cougars need to get back in the win column against a reeling Washington State.
Coach Nick Rolovich will not be on the sideline this Saturday. He's been fired, along with four of his assistant coaches.
Today, BYU kicks off against Washington State at 1:30.
And this is KSL's extended pregame coverage
with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into extended pregame coverage, and great stuff there from Mark Jackson in the KSLSports.com scoreboard studios. Looking forward to another outstanding day of college football, and we'll have the Cougars and the Cougars right here on the legacy home of BYU football, KSL News Radio, tip at 1:30. And Mitch, that's three consecutive 1:30 p.m. kicks for BYU.
It is, and I'm not going to lie, Matt, I'm a little bit worried because I feel like BYU, they're the great night team. We saw a couple years ago Kalani Sitake switch practices from the daytime, which he inherited when Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach. And about two or three years in, he's like, I got to go to nights because these guys, they stay up late. These are young college students. They stay up late, and we gotta practice in the nighttime. So now they practice in the evenings, and we've seen the games that they've played after 7 o'clock or later, 5-0. Day games, 0-2. Look, I'm someone that gets kind of superstitious and starting to feel like there might be a trend here. Hopefully it can be a change today.
Let's get out to the phone line right now and bring on wide receiver Neil Pau as he joins the program. And Neil, how do you prepare for these day games where you're, you know, as Mitch said, you're 0-2 as these 1:30 kickoffs? How do you prepare and get ready for these day games?
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to speak for myself. It definitely is an adjustment. Trying to wake up, especially when you're an hour ahead from your normal time or you're an hour behind. Your body is just not where it needs to be or where it usually is at the time where it's a later game. So usually have, like, we're done with meetings around 11:12 and we get to go back to our room and eat lunch and chill when it's a later game. But now that all speeds up and now we have a game to go to. So it's just having to be more on top of it throughout the week type deal to make sure that your body's ready to go.
What do you think were the biggest causes for the last two losses against Boise State and Baylor?
With Baylor, they could say it was stopping the run. They could have stopped the run, but also from an offensive standpoint, we couldn't convert on third down to stay on the field long enough. And then Boise, I think that was just also a team effort. We got down there to the red zone and had back-to-back penalties that pushed us out of the red zone to get back down. And we're just all out of whack. So we're just, you know, whatever it is, we're trying to find our groove and our niche back. So hopefully we're able to find it this week and show out against Washington State.
What do you think you guys need to do? I know you've touched on third down and red zone, but are there any other things that you think are critical for you guys as an offense to get back to your winning ways against the Cougars in Pullman?
Yeah, I think third down's going to be huge. Just to stay on the field longer. I think looking at our percentages, for our first five games that we won compared to when we played Boise State and Baylor, we weren't as successful on third downs. And third downs are allow you as an offense to stay on the field, get closer to easier field goals or, you know, punching it in the red zone. So I think that would be huge to convert on those after big plays. And maybe we run the ball and have to convert on third down just to convert.
How would you evaluate the play of the wide receivers through? I know you're a little past the halfway point now, but how do you think you guys have done maybe, you know, in comparison to what you guys expected to do this year?
I mean, everybody expected it as, you know, one of the deepest wide receivers core, one of the best wide receivers core in BYU history. And for the most part, whenever we've had the ball go up and it's presented to us, I feel like we've been able to come down with it. And we hope that, you know, the rest of the season going on, we're able to get more shots at coming down with the ball towards our way and plays called our way. So we're just going to stay positive. But I think for the most part, we've done exactly what we knew we could do from the beginning of the season.
Do you feel like there's been a moment in the season where there was a sequence, a couple drives where you felt like, hey, if we could do this over and over again, this is what we can, because it just seems like, Neil, there's been the glimpses of the explosive offense and it just hasn't come together for a full 60 minutes.
All of USF, I think that whole game, I think to start off, what was it? Boise State, how we came down and just punched them in the mouth and went up 10-0 off the start. Yep. You get, like you said, we get glimpses and stuff, but you know, sometimes when we're not rolling, it's, you know, they'll start down, it's 3-3 now. So we'll hit a big play and then we'll just come back with back-to-back-to-back drives of where it's 3-and-out, however it is, whether it's the middle of the field or on our side of the 50 or their side of the 50. So it's been difficult to kind of handle, but yeah, hopefully we can just continue in the right direction.
A few more moments here with Neil Pau on extended pregame coverage to get ready for BYU and Washington State. What is your position coach, Fessy Satake and A-Rod, what have they been emphasizing all week long getting ready for this game?
I think it's just to handle our business. They know that we've kind of been, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's not the same mojo, the same vibe that we had our first five games coming out. And that could be from just playing five straight P5 teams and no bye week to the end of the season and our bodies, however it is or whatever it is. But I think they've just been trying to stress, you know, to get our mojo back. Trust that, you know, we've put in the work and the teams that we played against haven't, you know, really beat us. We've kind of beat ourselves or whatever, although they've been two good teams, but we've been in both games if we just took care of our business. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that they're trying to amplify or tell us this week.
How fun has it been playing with Gunner and Puka? Cause you're second on the team in receptions, but you guys have just been, it's been a blast to watch you guys in the intermediate and deep game. What's it been like from a player perspective playing with such a deep group, like you mentioned?
Yeah, it's dope. And it's awesome because last year, you know, with Dax, it was me, Gunner, and Dax. It was just fun just to connect on all these different types of things. And it kind of sucks because you expect these P5 schools to go man. And then the way we're able just to get out and get going between me, Gunner, and Puka, they transition the zone, which kind of slows us down a little bit. But it's just awesome just to know, you know, when the ball goes up, most likely, more than not, it's going to come down between us three.
All right, that is wide receiver Neil Pau. We'll take another break here on extended pregame coverage. We'll continue talking about this deep and exciting wide receiver group on the other side. It's extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Washington State.
Goes for Puka, back shoulder, Enzo makes the catch. Did he get a foot down? Touchdown!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage
from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Coming to you live from Pullman, Washington, home of BYU and Washington State today. First meeting since 2012 in this all-Cougar matchup. Should be a fun one. And, you know, a player on this team, he's not a native of Washington, but he's very familiar with the state of Washington as he played for the rival Washington Huskies. Puka Nacua, last week, Matt, he had a breakout performance, the best of his BYU career. I think I would say the best of his college football career.
Yes.
What an amazing performance he had last week against Baylor. Can this continue today against Washington State?
Yeah, I think that it can. I don't think BYU will have a problem throwing the football. And quite frankly, they really haven't had a problem throwing the football all season long. Like, yeah. To come back to the Jaren Hall point you made earlier where it's like, let's back off this guy. I mean, this dude's had back-to-back 300-yard passing games in losses. It's not the passing game or the quarterback that has led to these losses. And Aaron Roderick has said as much, and it's been really fun to see Puka Nacua just get better and better. And you know what's great, too, is he's clearly displaying that he can be a number one guy, but it hasn't come at the expense of the other guys. Like, Gunner's still playing well. Neil's still playing well. Like, this is an absolutely fantastic wide receiver group that is going to make it difficult for anybody, and I think Jaren Hall's done a nice job distributing the football to all these guys, with the exception of the Arizona game, which Neil had 8 catches. Really, no one's going over 5 a game, but you're still seeing 4 for Neil, 5 for Puka, 4 for Gunner, so it's been awesome to see him just emerge as a real, like, deep threat. Like, he's one of the best deep threats in college football, right? And I think he's second in the country in yards per reception. And maybe I'm off on that, but he is killing. I'm going to get that stat while you take the floor here, Mitch.
Yeah, Puka Nacua has been fantastic this year for BYU. He's just getting better each and every week, and this receiving unit is talented, and I love the depth too, Matt, of who they have for Jaren Hall to catch the football. And you talk about Puka, Gunnar Romney, Neil Powell, and then you go deeper. Samson Nacua, Keanu Hill got a little bit of run last week, and I know coaches are high on the potential of Keanu Hill. Chris Jackson was a standout in the win against Arizona. He's been a non-factor because of how deep they are at the receiver spot. And don't even, you know, you forget Braden Cosper, a guy that was doing nice things in fall camp. He went out with a season-ending injury. So the future's bright for the position. Puka Nacua is only a sophomore, too. Gunner's going to be a senior this year, so this is his last hurrah. Neil Powell, he could come back if he opted to use the COVID year, but we'll see. But, you know, I love the talent that's there. And then there's guys like Cody Epps that even played a down. He's someone in the future to keep an eye on. So what Fessy Satake and Aaron Roddick are doing with this offense, it's exciting. Now it's just a matter of maybe, you know, getting more balance, because it feels like those games where you truly go one-sided, it's just not a recipe for success. BYU needs that balance in order to win ball games, especially today on the road against a Power 5 team. I try not to get into that narrative, but it is a thing because Washington State, they've got more resources in terms of financials, support staff, things like that. That does matter when it comes to these matchups, especially when you're a team like BYU that hasn't had a bye week. They're going through the grind. They're banged up. That matters. So if they can get that balance, it's a great thing. But I feel confident that these receivers are going to put up some nice numbers today.
Yeah. I was off. Puka's third. So I was always one spot off. Third nationally, 22.2 yards per catch for Puka Nacua. It has been kind of interesting, though, that the tight ends just still haven't got going. Like, they haven't been non-existent. Like, they find Isaac Rex here and there. And they're, you know, in the Boise State game down, Holker had a few catches, but it's been difficult. And I'm curious what you think about this, but I think the reason we're not seeing guys with 8 catches in a game like we did Neil Powell against Arizona, and we're not seeing more reception of the tight ends, is BYU football offensively, they just have not had enough sustained drives. Like, even in that Baylor game, there were some huge plays to Puka, turnover. Huge play to Puka, quick score. We're not seeing the 7-8 play drives, which actually, if there is one criticism of the offense, I think they've got to find a way to stay on the field more, to give the defense a little more of an opportunity to regroup, talk things over, because there's been a lot of times where it's either a quick score or it's a 3-and-out, and it puts the defense in a difficult position. Now, they still got to make plays and get off the field, because there's been many an opportunity defensively for them to end a drive, and they haven't been able to do so. But if you want to nitpick with the offense, for me, it's maybe a few more sustained drives, which would lead to a few more opportunities for guys to carry the football more or catch more passes, because there just haven't been a lot of games where BYU's put up, 80 plays? Like, it just has not happened.
Yeah, they don't even get the ball much, because the defense is allowing these long drives, time-consuming drives, for these opposing teams where, you know, last week against Baylor, I thought if BYU's offense can get the ball back, they're going to put up points. If they don't turn over the ball, they're going to get points. Like, that's how it felt early, especially in that second half where Jaren gets that huge touchdown run. And, you know, leading up to that fumble where the offensive line had a severe miscue where the young offensive lineman, Campbell Barrington, look, he's going to be a stud. I've been singing his praises for a long time. He's going to be good, but that was one of those moments where he's going to have to improve. This offensive line has to improve, because if they don't step up today, that time of possession, they're not going to have the ball enough to win. I think that this Washington State team, though, will pose more opportunities for BYU to get the ball back. It's not completely air raid like Mike Leach days, where they would just go 3 quick plays and only 8 seconds of game clock go off, and you know, they're punting already. The run and shoot's a little bit different in that sense, but I think there will be some opportunities for BYU to get off the field in a hurry and give this offense the chance to make some big plays, because I love the talent at these skill spots with Tyler Algier, Puka. I mean, I can go on and on. And just the offensive line, though, they've got to be improved. We'll get an injury update coming up a little bit later before the top of the hour for BYU coming up as today's game against Washington State. But That's going to be an area that's a huge focus. Can BYU's O-line be physical and win in the trenches?
Absolutely, because right now they're the 79th best rush offense in the country. And
not good enough.
It's not good, and they think about the performance that they had against Utah State, and they're still 79th. Like, they ran all over the Aggies.
It's a great
point. And they're still 79th. Like, I know a lot of you BYU fans want to nitpick Jaren Hall, which I think is ridiculous. It's a top 50 passing offense. They are a good passing offense. They just need some balance, and they need to possess the football a little longer. I know that time of possession doesn't equal wins, but it certainly helps when you have the football more. So that's going to be a key, Mitch, against Washington State, is when they have the football, can they have some sustained drives that lead to touchdowns? And I think they can. This Washington State defense, it's nothing great. It's nothing special. But they've got to find a way to run the football to prolong those drives.
5-2 BYU, 4-3 Washington State. The battle for the Cougar supremacy. We're live here in Pullman, Washington, getting you ready for BYU and Washington State. Keep your texts coming. Share your score predictions. Share your keys to victory on the UCCU KSL text line at 57500. You're going to hear from BYU quarterback Jaren Hall, QB1. We've been singing his praises. What does he have to say about this Washington State team? You'll listen to that next. It's extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
After two straight losses, the Cougars are looking for a win.
The pull away and the takeoff by Jaren Hall, and he is gone. The 40, the 30, the 20, he will score. Touchdown!
The coaches are looking for a way there.
Didn't like the outcome of the game. A lot of things that I wanted to get to work to try to get better for this week.
Today, it's KSL's extended pregame, BYU-Washington State, with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Big thank you to the Mark Jackson and the scoreboard update. Great stuff there from Mark. It's a busy day in college football. It's a busy day for BYU football. They're here in Pullman getting you ready. I'm here as well. Getting ready for BYU and Washington State. We'll have in-game coverage on KSLSports.com, and obviously the broadcast will be here on the legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, the KSL News Radio app, KSLNewsRadio.com. So many different ways to listen to this BYU broadcast, and there's also a lot of different ways to listen to our colleagues here at KSL, along with KSL News Radio. You can also hear some familiar voices on the Zone Sports Network, 1280 and 97.5 FM. Our friends Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, KSL's unrivaled, now on the Zone Sports Network each day.
Congrats to them. That is awesome to enhance what is already a great lineup over there on the Zone. So now you get Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, along with familiar voices, DJ PK, and you know, it's all one powerhouse family here at KSL now. So it is great to have them on board with us, and love just look, if you're a BYU fan, just more content, more opportunities to get to know these guys, these teams and these players better. So, you know, a great moment for sports fans to have these groups come together and form one great entity of sports radio.
Each week on Unrivaled, every day from 3 to 7 on the Zone Sports Network. But on Mondays, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell catch up with BYU starting quarterback Jaren Hall. And they caught up with QB1 earlier this week to discuss this matchup against Washington State and the challenges of facing a Wazoo team that's got so much uncertainty with their coaching staff.
It's unfortunate for the players, man. I feel bad for those guys. That's tough enough, you know, to lose a head coach, you know, as USC did. You know, you still got your assistants and you can kind of bounce back and still have a game plan, you know, and play ball. But to lose four of your assistants, and I believe one was the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
As well, that's tough, man. I mean, that puts a lot of stress on the players, but you know, I guess that could be seen as an opportunity for those players to kind of step up and you know, work even harder to game plan and scheme up for this next week. So in the end of the day, it might be something cool for them, you know, to kind of step in and take that role when they don't have their coaches there. But yeah, no, it's sad, man. It stinks for the kids, honestly, to have something like that play into their season and you know, their success. They've been playing so well the last couple of weeks, so it's unfortunate. It really is, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how. I mean, if you lost all those coaches, like, how would you actually game? I mean,
yeah, because it's one thing to have an interim head coach,
right?
Yeah. I don't know if this. I mean, I guess
coordinators though.
The coordinators are everything.
How would they operate? Like, have you thought? How would you guys deal with that if you had to deal with that?
I'd imagine that you have captains on offense and defense. I'd imagine the offensive captains will probably come together if I don't know who all the people that were fired with that. You know, how many offensive or defensive guys? But at least for offense, you know, if we had lost an OC, you go to the next coach and you'd probably sit down as captains with him. And spend more time game planning during the day would be my guess. I mean, maybe the other assistants could take the load on themselves and do it. But, you know, I'd want to have some say in to hear out what's going on because, you know, that communication between you and your offensive coordinator is important. So
yeah, it's almost like one of those things where you just like I could see where you could say it may be better because you just say we're just going to go vanilla. We're going to go with our basic plays, stuff we know, keep it simple, and just go play football. And who knows what that may – Because you know, I wanted to ask you, well, what is your take on Washington State? I mean, watching them, yeah. You know, and I guess you have some idea of where they are, but
yeah.
what is your first blush as you started your preparation?
I mean, they're hot right now. They've been playing really well. Defensively, they're a really good team. They have a lot of experience. They got some big DBs who play the ball well. Up front, they do a lot of stuff up front, a lot of twists, a lot of stunts. They're not the biggest up front that we've played all year, so they'll have a lot of movement in a lot of ways to try to beat us there. But overall, 1-11, they're a tough team. They scrap. I mean, they're finishing every single play 100%. You know, it's something that's very impressive to watch in the tape already from what we saw today. So we've got to be ready with our game plan. We've got to be ready to play, beginning to end of every snap because they definitely won't quit. And, home field advantage of that stadium. You know, it's a lot of energy there, a lot of fans that love, from that small town that love their football team and love supporting them. So it'll be good for us. Good test.
I was just thinking, too, about, going up and how, that it actually might work a little to their advantage in terms of, that not knowing exactly how things are going to go because it's one thing to be able to write down, okay, here are their tendencies here.
Right.
But stuff is just going to have to change this week. And so – As you watch those things, as you guys have already studied some of the film, not just on their defense, but what does Wazoo do overall that's really, really good?
Yeah, so they have a lot of combinations of pressures. They sell out at times. They really trust that they can get pressure on the quarterback before you can find somebody open, and they've done a lot of job causing havoc on the last couple wins that they've had, especially the defense you can see has gotten better throughout the year. And then they do a good job in coverage behind. And so we'll just have to be dialed into protections. We'll have to be dialed into, our wide zone run game, our mid zone, and everything else that we've done every year. And then just on the outside, we'll have, some matchups down the field and just continue to throw the ball and run the ball like we have. But, definitely be prepared for some pressures they've got and just other ways to try to cause havoc up front.
You had the nice long touchdown run this last week. Is that something that's just managed in a game-to-game situation? How much – do you run and how much do you not run and making, kind of keeping yourself available for the next play, and how does that work every week?
Yeah.
You're running the football.
Yeah, no, when I play, it's never a thought in my mind that I got to keep myself safe and I've got to, as a quarterback, naturally there's a tendency to say, okay, once I get in all I can, I got to get down, right? But for me, I don't try to conserve myself by any means every play, but when there's an opportunity to run, it's usually safe. That's the way our offense is built in. It's usually stuff that we can get around to the edges, quarterbacks, get into green grass behind a blocker and get down. So any chance I can get to use my legs, it opens up. It really opens up the offense, the playbook, because teams got to start respecting that. And so, you saw the first couple of games, we did it a lot. We used it a lot because the opportunities were there. In the last couple of games, there are fewer chances. But, any chance is open, I'm always ready and willing to take off and use my legs because, it opens up the playbook. But it just kind of, it's based on certain times and certain looks. But there's a lot of opportunities throughout the game, I'll say.
Jaron, one of the things, too, we were watching this game on Saturday and it happened with Boise State where – getting down and playing from behind is a totally different animal than being up. And so have you guys talked about that as a team or have you thought to yourself, okay, like the idea that it changes the way you guys call plays and how you guys have to react then? Because if you're down double digits and you have to run different stuff to be able to get out. And how's that mindset change when you guys are playing from behind?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, depending on the deficit, obviously the playbook changes a lot. You know, if you're working against the clock, you know, you got to start throwing the ball because you can't allow, you know, to run the ball and run timeout per se. So, you know, any course of the game, depending on how much you're down, you know, and how much time is left, would definitely trim down the playbook a little bit. It might, you know, vanilla some things up and just push the ball down the field. But yeah, playing behind is definitely not, it's not ideal, right? But it's part of football. The last two games this happened. So we got to really, I think, focus on getting out quick and putting points on the board. You know, a couple times we settled for field goals early on, and I think we just got to be better. And again, executing on third down, especially in the red zone and in the low red, and getting, you know, a touchdown every time we can, because that really changes the course of the game for us and for our defense and, you know, just the whole three aspects of the game.
So you talked about Baylor kind of coming out with a lot of energy, and you got in that stadium with a lot of crowd noise there.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're going to expect in Pullman. It could be, it couldn't be. You don't know. But how do you create your own energy on the road now that you've kind of had that tough road match? How do you create that energy to make sure you're getting off to a good start early?
Well, I mean, from the first snap, you just got to go make a play. I think you got to get positive yards from the beginning. And I think it's again, there's no perfect solution for how do you get energy. You know, we always ask ourselves in team meetings and other things, and morning games, away games, whatever, that's different from your normal routine, how do you get energy? And I think it just comes down to making plays. You know, there's a lot of things you can say, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. But at the end of the day, if you don't step up and make a play, you know, you're not going to get any energy. So it's just one of those things about manhood, man. It's got to man up, go make a play, and just create that energy. I think is that's how I look at it anyway.
And there you go. That's quarterback Jaren Hall from earlier this week with Unrivaled. Again, you can hear Unrivaled now on the Zone Sports Network, 1280 AM, 97.5 FM, and the Zone Sports Network, 3 to 6 with Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. Big, again, congrats to those guys for their new show, new time slot in the afternoon drive on the Zone Sports Network. And all the podcasts are available on KSLSports.com. We're taking a break. On the other side, we'll get an update on the injuries. What's the latest buzz we're hearing on that front as BYU gets ready to take on Washington State here in Pullman? We're live on location on the Palouse. It's extended pregame coverage on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Washington State.
He will score! Touchdown, Tyler Allgeier!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage
on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
We're getting closer to the Cougars, and the Cougars playing at 1:30. Kick can be heard right here on the Legacy Home of BYU football, KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, we're getting you ready for the matchup with extended pregame coverage. And one thing that has no doubt had an impact, and this isn't me making excuses, Mitch, but it is a reality. Injuries have played a significant role on this BYU football team. It feels like every year we're talking about devastating injuries that have an impact, and yet again, Keenan Peely goes down. I know that's old news, but that's still the ghost of Keenan Peely is still haunting this run defense. And then on the offensive line, you're missing Harris LeChance. You're missing Joe Tukuwafu. So what can you tell us about some of these injury guys and who might return in the Battle of the Cougars?
Well, we know Joe Tukuwafu is going to play today, barring some setback in practice. He's expected to go because he did participate in practice, and he's a full go. So that helps shore up that offensive line because he's been a starter. And Tukuwafu's been one of the better storylines, I think, along that O-line, because I naturally thought Connor Pace is going to be the guy that probably beats him out. No, Joe Tukuwafu has been that starter, so he comes back this week. Harris LeChance has been practicing. He's going to be another game-time decision. I honestly expected him back last week against Baylor. He didn't even make the trip. He wasn't there. So LeChance, so he has been participating. He's going to be a game-time decision. And then George Udo, he had a setback. Doesn't sound like it's season-ending, or it wasn't the same ACL that he suffered a season ago, but he is doubtful. That's according to Kalani Sitake in regards to George Udo. Caleb Christensen still not expected that timeline, probably going into the month of November for his return. Now we're starting to get to that point, too, of Micah Harper potentially coming back, maybe, depending on his availability. I don't expect him today, But that's something to keep an eye on in the last four games of the season. Remember Troy Warner, Chris Wilcox a few years ago. Those were guys that were utilized in a season where they were injured, but because of the redshirt rule, they were able to play and still get some game reps and maintain their eligibility. Micah Harper, he was a star last season as a true freshman. He suffered an injury in spring ball. He's getting closer and closer, so there's some hope maybe that in the month of November he could potentially play, but that's something to keep on the radar in the injury front to help shore up that secondary going forward in the final stretch of the season.
The guys they need back, though, are Lechance, Tukuwafu, and Faletea, because I think the line play from the five wins and the two losses, it's like night and day. I remember going to that Boise State game, it was like, you know, I'd like Kyle Whittingham said, I would bet my house that BYU is going to run all over these guys. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop the run, and they did both of those things. And I think the big difference from the winning streak and the losing streak is the health of the line play. And the guys that are there have got to be better, no doubt about it. And Kalani has said as much. They got to be more physical. But, man, if you can get those full guys back, because when they were healthy and they were available, they were pretty dang good to the tune of 5-0 in top 15. So I will be very interested to see if they can get those three guys back and what kind of impact they can have, because there is a lot of depth in this program, more than there's ever been. But if there's two position groups that need more depth, it is the line, offensive and defensive line.
And offensive line coming into the season, that was an area of concern, the depth. The starters were always viewed as, hey, they're going to be pretty good. But the depth at offensive line was a question. And also, when you lose arguably the best offensive line coach, you can say what you will about Jeff Grimes, the play caller. I think BYU upgraded with Aaron Roderick. I do. In that regard. But as far as offensive line coach, Jeff Grimes is the best. You saw that transformation overnight with Baylor last week. That is a completely different team than they were a year ago. So BYU on the offensive line, they've got to shore some things up, because a new coaching style, Daryl Funk's been around the block. He's got some loyal people around him from his days at Michigan. Taylor Lewan loves Daryl Funk. And these players this year love Daryl Funk. But again, you know, it's just they got to rise to the occasion, because the greatness of BYU's team last year was because offensive line and the star power showcased itself. O-line's got to be on point.
We'll take the break here. ABC News at the top of the hour, and then more BYU pregame coverage, extended pregame coverage here on the legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio.
BYU aired it out.
Straight back, Rob Bergeron looks to his left, looks middle, goes deep middle. He's got Puka Nacua, makes the catch. Stays on his feet, is now dragged down to the 21-yard line of Baylor.
But they couldn't sustain drives, and they couldn't stop the Baylor Bears.
Smith does get in. Step through a tackle, shook off a would-be tackler, and gets in for the touchdown that might just seal the deal here in Waco.
This week, the Cougars need to get back in the win column against a reeling Washington State.
Coach Nick Rolovich will not be on the sideline this Saturday. He's been fired, along with four of his assistant coaches.
Today, BYU kicks off against Washington State at 1:30.
And this is KSL's extended pregame coverage
with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
That's a big game, BYU and Washington State here on KSL News Radio, and BYU looking to get in that win column, as you heard, and it's going to be up against a Washington State team that's playing well on the field, but there's obviously that off-the-field maybe drama that's been taking place for the Cougars program. And to get a better look at Washington State football, we're joined now by the play-by-play voice of the Washington State Cougars. He's Matt Chazanow. And Matt, thanks for taking the time to join us. How has this Washington State team navigated the coaching uncertainty with Nick Rolovich now dismissed as head coach?
About as well as anybody possibly could in a difficult situation. I think there's a chance for some college football kind of, you know, the chaotic response, which is disorganized and stressful and emotional. And while it's definitely emotional, it's not the first of those two possibilities. I mean, it's been focused on BYU really after Tuesday. You know, there was a bit of processing. They got together and there were a lot of discussions. And since then, I think they've been pretty focused on trying to move forward with football. You know, it's the game itself that's going to help these guys move on. And BYU is a really good team, and I think that helps Washington State pay great attention to the opponent this week, for sure.
And Washington State, Matt, has been playing good football as of late. Why do you think they have been able to go on a three-game winning streak?
Yeah, you know, to start the year, the offense was really struggling, and it's been better the last few weeks. It's not great, and it wants to improve even more, and we'll see what Brian Smith can do as now the OC and the sole OC on this coaching staff with the changes that were made, but they've improved. They've been better on third down. Jaden Delora had a really good game against Oregon State, and it's helped to relieve pressure on the defense. The defense has been solid all year, and some of the numbers don't reflect that, but their turnover numbers are fantastic. And so they've turned teams over, and they've kept themselves in games, and the offense has done its part the last few weeks.
Talk with Matt Chas now, play-by-play voice of the Washington State Cougars, here on KSL News Radio. Kickoff is at 1:30 between BYU and Washington State. You know, we've heard a lot about Jaden Delora, and I know BYU's coaches are very familiar with Delora. They recruited him coming out of high school in Hawaii. Who are some of the other players on the offensive side that have been some of the key contributors to this Washington State team?
Yeah, so, you know, Max Borgie and Deion McIntosh are two of the top running backs in the pack. And everybody knew Borgie coming into the year. And he and McIntosh have split carries. And, you know, the three wide receivers that have led the way are Trevell Harris, Calvin Jackson Jr., and Dejon Stribling. Stribling has been the pleasant surprise. He's just a true freshman. So they're really excited about him. Harris is all pack. Calvin Jackson Jr. is all pack. The Cougs are really good in the slot, and they have a pro right tackle for sure in Abe Lucas and a veteran left tackle in Liam Ryan. So when you get outside those tackles, there's a lot of quality blocking, and they've had a ton of great plays on the hashes, and that's been a strength this year.
What about defensively for Washington State? What do they do well defensively, and maybe where's an area where they need to be better if they want to beat BYU?
So they're really good at forcing turnovers. I mean, it's too consistent to be fluky. You know, sometimes turnovers seem like happenstance. And Jake Dickert, the defensive coordinator, now the acting head coach, said from day one, that's what he focuses on, that's his emphasis, and they've done that. So it's every game they're forcing key turnovers. It's how they beat Stanford. It's how they beat Oregon State. And I think if they could get better at something, you know, they'd love to be even better in the red zone. You know, something that the BYU is actually pretty darn good at is stopping teams once they get in the red zone. And, you know, and also Oregon State, you know, they ran for 303 yards and the Cougars won that game. You know, it's very rare you win a game with the other team rushing for 300 yards. So I know he doesn't have a huge issue with giving up yardage, big yardage. That's not Dickert's emphasis, but 303 yards on the ground is probably too much. You know, even still, he wants to shore that up a little bit.
You mentioned Jake Dickert, the acting head coach. Do you expect Washington State fans to rally around Dickert and this team for the remainder of the year? Because beyond today, I know this is a non-conference game, but hey, the Pac-12 North is still at stake here for the Cougs.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, this happened after a three-game win streak, and there's a lot on the line. So I think exactly that. You know, when you have something that's this tumultuous, it probably accentuates the emphasis of wins and losses, right? Things are really, really good when you win. Things are really, really low when you lose. Probably even more so now. You know, if you beat BYU, then you're one win away from a bowl. You know, and that was the goal this year with this team, to come off of the abbreviated COVID year and then get to a bowl game and continue what Mike Leach did here. So that's the goal still on the table. Yeah, the Pac North's on the table. You're right. You know, if the fans rally around this team, there's all the goals are still ahead for the Cougs, even though their head coach was ineligible to continue. So it's a very unique situation.
He is Matt Chazanow. He is the play-by-play voice of Washington State football, basketball, baseball. You can follow him at @M_Chaz. Thank you so much for previewing this matchup. Can't wait for it, Matt.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's Matt Chas now here on KSL News Radio. More pregame coverage from Pullman right after this.
BYU, Washington State.
Goes for Puka, back shoulder, end zone, makes the catch. Did he get a foot down? Touchdown!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage
from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in, where I feel like I want to go to the Warp Tour with this introduction, yeah. Baby. I don't know if you ever went to that growing up, man, but woo!
Fans Warp Tour. Takes me back. Hey, I learned something funny this week. Not funny. It's pretty cool, actually. You and our good friend Jerem Jordan. You guys are like these concert goers.
Oh, I'm a huge... I've got a list. I've probably been to, 75 to 100 concerts in my lifetime. Just bought some Coldplay tickets earlier in the week. Okay. Big concert guy, Mitch.
I did not realize that about you. I learned something new about you each and every week. The people here in Pullman, they look like they're ready for a dreary day.
Not the Warp Tour.
It doesn't look like a Warp Tour here. Looks like a... excited crowd of Cougars. Cougars everywhere. BYU Cougars and Washington State Cougars. I'm ready for this one. The scene here in Pullman, it should be a fun football game today. And, you know, each and every week here on the show, on this extended pregame, and also on our program, Cougar Sports Saturday, which you can always hear when there's no BYU football game covering that time slot from noon to 3 here on KSL News Radio, we roll out one of our favorite segments. It's... Well, here you go.
Three and out. A quick hit look at BYU's next opponent on the gridiron. It's three and out on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, three and out. It's brought to you by Economics Partners, Utah's premier business evaluation and advisory or strategic advisory firm. If you need a business evaluation, contact econpartners.com today. They're ran by diehard Cougar fans, BYU MBAs. Go to econpartners.com today. So we give you... some players, some stats, some bold predictions here in three and out, and let's get it started.
First down.
This will be a stat to keep an eye on, and for me, the number is 87. What does that represent? BYU's pass defense ranking. Now, I do think the biggest issue right now is the run defense for BYU, but this Washington State team can throw the rock, and so this BYU pass defense, they better be ready to defend Jaden Delora. I don't want to say too much because that's going to come up on second down, but that guy can sling it. So BYU's pass defense, they got to find ways to get off the field. Baylor converted 46% of the third downs last week. That's not going to be good enough against Washington State, and it's going to have to come, I think, on that back half with the safeties and the defensive back. So pass defense, watch for that.
Coaches love the talent in the secondary for BYU. We've known that, but they got to clean things up there for sure. For me, my stat is 98. That's the ranking for BYU in time of possession. These are not great numbers, Matt. Time of possession, they got averaging 28 minutes and 17 seconds. Now, time of possession is not the end-all, be-all when it comes to winning football games, but there has been some long games against Boise, against Baylor, where you're thinking, is BYU ever going to get the football back? And that's because, again, I feel like if BYU gets the ball, they're going to put up some points. Yep. This is an explosive offense. They just need the volume. They need the opportunities. They need the snaps to be able to show that explosive playmaking ability that Cougar fans so badly want. So, yeah, for me, time of possession, BYU ranked 98th nationally. That's my stat to keep an eye on heading into BYU, Washington State.
Second down.
Players to keep an eye on. I'll start with the visiting team. The visiting team's BYU, so I don't know what I'm saying here. I'm talking about the home team, the Washington State Cougars.
It's these day games, Matt. It affects the players. It affects us. We need that nightcap.
I actually prefer the nightcap. I know BYU fans have been wanting these day games, but give me all the 8:15s, except for on Halloween. I don't mind that. Against Virginia, Halloween night, sort of quasi.
I'm sorry, my lovely wife and kids. Anyway.
Back to the player here on second down, Jaden Delora, for me. First in the Pac-12, Mitch, in touchdown passes, and he hasn't even played in every game for Washington State. So this guy can really throw the football. He's dangerous, and he is very motivated, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. So Jaden Delora, the quarterback who had some issues last year, but he's playing good football right now. So watch out for that guy.
BYU coaches know a lot about him. He was recruited by BYU, had an offer. He was in the same recruiting class as Solje Maiava-Peters. He had offers from the likes of Ohio State, USC, this Jaden Delora. Some of those schools backed off a little bit, so he ends up at Washington State, where he thought he was going to be coached by Nick Rolovich, the Hawaii native. But, yeah, he's a good quarterback. And you told me, you're like, Mitch, hey, it's not going to be Garantano, the Tennessee quarterback who they have as the backup. He's been a bust. Delora has really got
I got to tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
Sorry. On Garantano, we're both at Knoxville.
Yes.
I remember. I'm getting lunch on the second floor above the Vol shop. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And for those of you who went, I'm sure you do as well. And some guy pulled me aside and was like, Garantano is no good. You guys are going to win the football game. That guy was right.
Yes, he was absolutely right because Garantano is overrated.
Yep.
For me, the player to watch, I'm going to stay at the quarterback spot. I'm going to go with Jaren Hall. You know, Cougar fans, again, Jaren Hall deserves your respect. This man is a talented.
What's he done to get the hate?
Baylor Romney was so good, though, in those two starts.
Baylor Romney played way inferior teams.
Well said. I agree. But, I mean, Baylor was – he is incredibly efficient. And that's I think that's the praise with Baylor is that you're going to probably get 68-70% completion rate. And he's just a smooth operator. Whereas Jaren, though, you see those plays against Baylor where he can pop off a huge run and give you those flashbacks of Taysom Hill. Jaren Hall, to me, is going to – if BYU is going to win, it's because Jaren Hall is not only going to have a good game, but a memorable game that will live in BYU lore.
Third down.
Bold prediction. This is where we give a bold prediction. We've hit some nail on the head. We've whiffed some as well. I feel pretty confident about this one, though. BYU is going to have to make a game-winning play to win the football game in the fourth quarter on the final drive. I don't know if that's going to be defense making a stand or offense scoring a field goal or a touchdown, but I believe this game will come down to the final possession. Can BYU make the play? My bold prediction is yes, they make the play, but it's going to be a tight football game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. My bold prediction, Jaren Hall passes for 300, runs for 100.
That's bold.
Jaren Hall is going to have a big-time game. I'm feeling it. This is his breakout performance. He's going to silence the critics. He knows they got to get back on the winning side of things. Jaren Hall is going to put the team on his back. 300 through the air, 100 on the ground for Jaren Hall. What about a score prediction before we get out?
This I have went back and forth so many times about this football game. And, you know, I'm gonna put my faith in your bold prediction. I think Jaren Hall, I believe in Jaren. I just finished watching the Batman trilogy. I believe in Harvey Dent. I believe in Jaren Hall. And I think that he is going to get it done. I go BYU 41, Wazoo 38.
Okay.
High scoring affair on the Palouse. And Jaren Hall on the offense gets it done on the final drive.
I'm going to say BYU comes away with a victory a little bit lower scoring. I'm going to say BYU 27, Washington State 26. I'm going to say this is a one-point game. I think BYU wins it late. It's going to take some theatrics. It's going to take some heroic performances. Jaren Hall is going to get this thing done, and we're going to have you covered here throughout the day. BYU, Washington State. You can listen to the broadcast here on KSL News Radio. You can follow the in-game coverage on KSLSports.com from here on the Palouse in Pullman. It's BYU and Washington State. Big thanks to all of you listening out there. Big thanks to our producer, Dallin Graff. And let's check in with Mark Jackson for a weather update. Mark, how's it looking out there?
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.